Good morning. So, a few months ago when Pastor told us that we were going to need to fill a couple weeks for him while he was gone, of course I was trying to mull over what I should talk about, and I usually have a list of things that I'm going to talk about, and I'm not usually a technology guy, it was just a physical list that I had in my Bible case, and I lost it. So, I was thinking about what to talk about and ended up deciding I'd talk about prayer. Our prayer life is an easy thing to let slip. And if we let our prayer life slip, then we're letting our Christian life slip because it's a big part of it. And we definitely don't want to be what is described as being lukewarm in Revelation 3, 15, and 16. I'll read that real quick. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So, we don't want the Lord to spew us out, and you know, we definitely want to stay hot and zealous in our Christian life, and prayer is a big part of that. And I think when you sit back and think about it, once I started thinking about it, I could see a lot of places where my prayer life had really kind of slipped. Not that I wasn't praying, but you get lazy and you're not doing it right, or maybe not as often as you should. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. And it's a good refresher from what I saw on the church website. It looks like last time Pastor did a sermon on it was in January of 2018. And once I started looking at that outline, I remembered quite a bit of it and him saying these things. It's just that we have to be reminded from time to time, or at least I know I do. The first thing is, you know, we need to be praying according to the scriptures to have effective prayers. So, Christians need to pray continually throughout the day. Obviously, we cannot be praying every waking minute, but it needs to be a regular thing in our routine every day. We are told to stay in continual communion with God. So, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18, please. First Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So without ceasing is going to mean you're doing it, you know, almost nonstop, and in everything to give thanks. So, you know, we're commanded to be thankful. And I think I did have it in here to say it later, but you know, sometimes I will make time to make sure I have a prayer of nothing but thanks, to not just be always asking God for things, because you won't, if you really are looking, you won't have to look at your life very hard to find an endless amount of things to be thankful for. Now let's look at Luke 6 and verse 12. Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And then Luke 18 and verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So Jesus said always to be praying. Let's look at Acts 12 and verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So Peter was in prison, and the church was just praying continually to God for him on his behalf. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Of course, everybody knows this has been talking about the armor of God. And in verse 18 it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So praying always with all prayer. And lastly, Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. So that's one more right there, is, saying to make sure that you're being thankful. I really do think that's one of the most important parts of our prayer, and I'll probably talk about it a little bit more soon. So typically we want to be trying to pray when we get up, before we eat, before bed, and any other time we feel the need to ask God for help or just to thank Him for a blessing or deliverance we have received. Turn with me to John 6 and verse 11, please. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as... as much as they would. I've gotten myself messed up, sorry. Yeah, and when he had given thanks, I read right over it. So Jesus gave thanks and then distributed to the disciples. So they prayed before they ate. Now I'm back on track. Matthew 15 and verse 36, please. Matthew 15, 36. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and broke them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. So he gave thanks for that food, and then they split the food up to eat. And then turn to John 6:23, please. John 6:23. And this is, I believe, the same account. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that the Lord had given thanks. So the Lord fed this multitude, and very little is said about that miracle, but they do make it a point to make sure you know that they gave thanks for it. So we really need to make sure we're giving thanks for our food. It is important to teach your children to pray before meals, even when they are in public or in the presence of unbelievers. Let's look at Acts 27 and 35, please. Acts 27:35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. So, praying for your food at a restaurant or a public place is one way we can kind of let that Christian light shine on the world. Not too many people pray. And, my family praying before meals at restaurants before, we've had people actually come up and comment to us about that, that they appreciate that. Usually it's old people. But But there are still people out there that appreciate that and understand the importance of it, you know, and when they say, oh, I appreciate that you prayed, it always makes me wonder, like, well, you were already here when I got here. I wonder if you prayed before you ate or you just appreciate that I did it. But anyway, it's one of the small things we can do to be teaching our children to be doing the right thing, even when people are looking and maybe it's not as comfortable, you know, and stuff like that. So it's important to be doing that for not just the reason of praying, but also to be setting that example to your kids and anyone else that might be watching. You know, praying at a restaurant's uncomfortable. We still must do it. And as I said in the opening reading, Daniel 6, 1 through 12, Daniel no doubt knew about the decree, and he went and prayed the exact same way he did it before. He changed nothing. He did not hide. And I do, now that we're on recording, I want to go ahead and read Daniel 6, 1 through 12 one more time. Daniel 6, 1 through 12. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled, and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. So, you know, the decree was set up that you had to pray to the king and not anybody else. So all these presidents and princes had, you know, done this to try to take Daniel out. And Daniel changed nothing. He did it the same way. So if he could pray knowing that he was going to get in major trouble, maybe lose his very high position in that kingdom, then how's it so hard for us to maybe be slightly uncomfortable for a few minutes, if that long, in a restaurant? And kind of a side note on this passage I just thought about as I was reading it, but, you know, Daniel was, Darius's, like, number one guy, it seems like, so it is kind of odd that when all the rest of them came together to him to set this decree up, you know, obviously Daniel would not have been present or he would have spoke up about it, and they got the king to go ahead and do it anyway, so, maybe it was a little bit of a bonehead decision, but if we were to read the whole thing, most people know the story. Daniel gets thrown in with the lions, and God sends an angel to shut the lions' mouths. The king is extremely happy the next morning when Daniel was still alive. The king had at least somewhat long night of worrying about it, sounds like. And in the end, Daniel kind of gets the last laugh on that one, because I do believe that all of the presidents and princes, along with their families, all got thrown in lion's den. So, you know, God has a way of turning it around and giving you the last laugh, or himself the last laugh. So, you know, we know that we need to be praying continually, and we know that, you know, we need to make sure we're doing it no matter who's around. And in the 2018 message that Pastor Wagner did, which his outline I just grossly butchered and copied and used for my own self, he sets out some excellent guidelines for effective prayer. And I will tell you that after I made my own outline and boned up on how I'm praying, it was amazing within the following week how many things I had been praying about for quite some time just started falling into place. Like if I had just been asking in the right way and being good with my prayer life, maybe, you know, I would have been having a better time with a few things for quite some time. So, we need to follow the Lord's pattern of prayer, and that's in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Excuse me. So that's an example of prayer, but we don't want to repeat that verbatim, because then you could get into vain repetitions. So look at Matthew 6 and verse 7, please. Matthew 6 and verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So we need to make sure that we're praying meaningfully. When you get into vain repetitions, you get to where your words don't have any meaning. You're just saying something. And I think we've all probably been to someone's house, you know, where maybe the dad says a prayer before dinner, but it's just the same thing. And he says it, you know, with no meaning. Fast, get it over, I'm hungry. That's not a real prayer. It's just not. So God's not going to hear that prayer. We must ask, seek, and knock if we expect our needs and desires to be given unto us. And so let's look at Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So, that's how we need to be praying, you know, asking, seeking. And then look at James 4 and verse 2, please. James 4 and verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. So, you know, they're trying to accomplish things or get things, but they're not asking God for any help. So they're not going to get any help. You have to bring things up to God and tell him that it's important to you, and open your heart up to him. Ask in faith and believe that God will answer your prayers if it is his will to do so. Sometimes the answer is not the answer we want. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21, 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So right there it says, and as Jesus said, ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And then look at James 1, 5 through 7, please. James 1, 5 through 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So he's asking in 100% faith, you know, not wavering, not being weak in any way, just asking in faith. And then he will be able to receive of the Lord. Ask believing that God is able to give you your request. That's in Matthew 9, 28 through 30. Matthew 9, 28 through 30. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Now we know they all went and told a bunch of people, but he asked them, do you believe I'm able to fix your vision? And they said, yes. You have to believe that God can fulfill your request. And I'm sure we've all got proof of it in our own lives. You know, you've prayed for things and gotten them. You probably prayed for some things and the answer was no, but we generally get a lot of the things that we pray for, so there's no reason not to believe that you could get what you're praying for. Ask God believing that he can grant your prayer, but not demanding that he will or presuming that he must. Let's look at Mark 1, 40 through 42. Mark 1, 40 through 42. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. All things are possible with God. Let's look at Luke 1:37. Luke 1:37. It's a short verse with very large meaning. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. You cannot ask God for something that he can't do, as long as it's not wrong or evil. Anything you ask for, he can do. Nothing's too big. Also look at Matthew 19:24 through 26. Matthew 19:24 through 26. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, nothing is impossible. I don't know how else to say it. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That says that in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And if we believe, all things are possible. Look at Mark 9, 23 through 24. Mark 9, 23 through 24. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. You just have to believe. So we have to remember, just because it's possible for God to do something doesn't mean that he will, which is why we must pray according to his will and be ready to accept the outcome. Let's look at Mark 14:36. Mark 14:36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So that was Jesus knowing that his time was drawing short until he would be crucified. He asked for that cup to pass from him, but he also said, not what I will, but what thou wilt. I also think that sometimes God waits to give us what we want until after we accept not getting our desired outcome. And then when we accept it and move on, things can suddenly end up as you wanted them to be all along. The last few years, I've experienced a lot of that in my life. And it is amazing how quickly things can change. It seems like maybe you're going to be in one station that, like, you're okay and you're thankful for all you have, but you were wanting something else, and then you finally are like, okay, well, this just isn't going to happen. You kind of let it go, and the next thing you know, in one phone call or one conversation, huge things change. Huge things. So I do believe God tests us this way sometimes. Give you some time to accept that you're not going to get what you want, or that things aren't going to work out like you'd like them to, and then all of a sudden, boom, they do. On the other hand, I can also tell you that I know what it's like to pray for the health of a heavily afflicted child and to end up having to accept the loss of that child. If we don't like the way something like this turns out, and the answer to our prayers is a no, then we need to not let that waver or damage our faith. You know, Jesus would pass that cup would pass from him in Mark 14:36, but when it didn't, his faith stayed 100% intact. You can tell that just with what he said, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Another example, and this is kind of going back to us with the loss of the son, David lost a child. In 2 Samuel 12, 15 through 25, 2 Samuel 12, 15 through 25. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. So I'm going to say, when he says he besought God for the child, he was fasting and praying. That's what it sounds like to me. He was fasting and praying for that child. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. So, David fasted and prayed and did everything he could to try to save that child. God's answer was no. The child died. And David knew at that point there was nothing else he could do. The answer to his prayers was a no. So he picked himself up, he got dressed, he ate, he comforted his wife, and just went on. And so when we're praying for things, we have to realize sometimes that's what we're going to have to do. And I think most of the time, not always, but most of the time, especially with big things in life, I think there comes a point where we know the answer is no. Depending on what you're praying about, what the problem is. But I think many times you know when the answer is no. And so it's time to start figuring out what you're going to do next. And you might need to pray about, what do I do next? You know, we can take all of those things to God in prayer. We need to pray in Jesus' name. John 14:13-14. John 14:13-14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So right there, Jesus is telling us to pray in his name. Look at John 15:16. John 15:16. This is also a good salvation by grace verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So there you go. Ask of the Father in Jesus' name, that's Jesus speaking, and then he may give it to you. John 16:23-24. John 16:23-24. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So we need to be praying in Jesus' name. That's three examples. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? The definition of name as a noun is in one's name, in the name of, in phrases expressing invocation of, reliance upon, or devotion to the persons of the Godhead. Denoting the use of another's name to give authority or countenance to one's acts, or implying that the action is done on account or on behalf of some other person or persons, hence by contrast to this in one's own name. And then the definition of invocation is the action or an act of invoking or calling upon God or deity, etc., in prayer or attestation, supplication, or an act or form of supplication for aid or protection. Praying in Jesus' name is praying to God with reliance upon Jesus that those prayers will be heard, because Jesus makes intercession for us, and therefore God will answer them for Jesus' sake. Let's look at Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34, please. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then also let's look at Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So there's two examples. Jesus is interceding for us on our behalf. Abide in Jesus to have our prayers heard and answered. John 15:7. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We want to make sure we don't go to God in prayer with unforsaken sin in your life, because God will not hear your prayers. Let's look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we don't want to have evil in our lives, unforsaken sin when we're praying. That's a good way to just have our prayers shut out and not heard. Then let's look at John 9 and verse 31. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So that's pretty plain. We got to be worshiping God and doing his will for him to hear our prayers. If we're living with unforsaken sin in our life, especially some repeated bad sin, then God's not going to hear your prayers. Our sin separates us from God and causes him not to hear us. And it says that in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. If we have sin in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Those sins in your heart is a tough one, because only you know about them. So we've really got to watch that. The Lord is far from the wicked, but hears the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 15:29. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. This is why a scorner who seeks wisdom from God will not find it. That's in Proverbs 14:6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. So we need to make sure we pray according to God's will. That's in 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Ask only for things that God approves of in his word. That's in James 4 and verse 3. James 4, 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Amiss, the definition of that is erroneously, in a way that goes astray of or misses its object. And this is one that we definitely probably find ourselves having to do, and that's to be persistent with our prayers. You're not going to get an answer to your prayers necessarily on the first time sometimes. Sometimes you might, but usually, you know, it requires fervent prayer. Let's look at Luke 11, 5 through 10. Luke 11, 5 through 10. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let's look at Luke 18, 1 through 8. Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Then let's look at Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's look at Mark 2, 1 through 5. Mark 2, 1 through 5. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then let's look at Mark 10, 46 through 52. While we're going there, on the one I just read, the faith of the people during Jesus' time trying to get to him for healing is just, in so many different cases, amazing. When you really sit back and think, they tore the roof off from above him and lowered the bed that this sick person was in. That's dedication. That is believing if we can find a way to get him in front of him, he will heal him. We know he can do it. We just got to get there. Now you're waiting for me. Mark 10, 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So sometimes we just have to keep, you know, pestering God until he gives us what we're praying for. And then to go back a little bit about having faith that God can, praying with faith that God can fix these situations. How many times in these have we seen where Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole, or something like that. So he was healing these people because he could perceive in them that they had faith, 100% faith, that he could fix their problem. They were coming to him knowing that he would fix their problem. We should pray to prevent temptation. Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So pray that God will keep us from temptation, and that will help keep us out of sin. And we need to make sure that we are always giving thanks to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then one last verse, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, hopefully that can have us a little bit boned up on our prayer lives, making sure that we're praying continually, making sure that we're giving thanks, and being consistent in our prayers, and just doing it right. So, thank you.